You're listening to Capital Radio. This is Brian Rust welcoming you to another Mardi Gras, our carnival of the best in vintage popular music and all that jazz. Happy listening, everyone. Today is the birthday of Her Late Majesty Queen Victoria, who never made any commercial records, of Frank Signorelli, composer and sometime pianist with the original Dixieland Jazz Band, the original Memphis Five, Bix Beiderbecke and his gang, who died in 1975, and of Sylvester Ahola, trumpet player extraordinary, born in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and alive and well and still living there, aged 79 today. I interviewed him recently for Mardi Gras.
Lately, so I have wanted to get some sound of the trumpet there now that I'm call myself the Methuselah of the trumpet. And as the writers say, I have hair, teeth, and a sense of humor, but that's all. Anyhow, there you go. I didn't play a long fanfare. I wanted to make sure I did get something on there that sounded as though I could still play a little bit.
I asked Hooley, as he likes his friends to call him, if he had any particular memories of his years in London.
I'm going back to 1926 now, when I first went over with Paul Speck. And we played at the Royal Palace Hotel in Kensington. Charlie Spivak was with the band as a second trumpet player. I played first all the time with Speck and did all the jazz playing too, but Charlie was second trumpet. And we had to leave him crying his eyes out on the dock. He couldn't find a birth certificate. He was born in Slavovia someplace in Europe. And he couldn't get a birth certificate in time to get a passport. So we had to leave him there, and we only went over with one trumpet and Al Filburn on the trombone. Well, we played at the Royal Palace Hotel in Kensington. And I'd like to tell you this story that used to get laughs from my musician friends, at least. I lived with Phil Wall, composer of Static Strut, Corn Thread, Tin Ear, very fine arranger, fine piano player. And then he was my best man at my wedding at the little church around the corner in New York. Now, let's see. We lived together. We roomed together. We rented a room at a private home in Kensington, one of those side streets near Barker's department store. Whether that store is there now, I don't know. And near the Kensington Cinema, if that's still there. And this road slanted up, row of brownstone, four-story blocks they were. A little grade going up hill-like. And we rented the top room, and it had a round window such as a porthole on a ship. And we were standing there and listening to a cornet player who was playing out there. We weren't used to hearing musicians playing and begging for money, let's say, in New York. I had never seen one. So he was playing his cornet. I opened the window to hear it, this round porthole, let's call it. And he was playing Margie or Loveness, one of those tunes. Someone threw half a crown or some large coin, and it started to roll down this hill towards this drain in the gutter, a gutter drain with a metal grill on it. Now he's running, he stopped playing and ran after this coin that was rolling down this grade towards this grill where he would have lost it. Well, my trumpet was on the bureau next to this window. I picked it up and finished the tune for him. And he looked around. He didn't know whether to stop and listen to me from that fourth-story window or keep running after the coin. And I'll never forget it, him running and looking back and up and just keep running. And so I finished the tune, and he never found out who did it. We didn't yell out anything from the window. Anyhow, it's a true story, and that one sticks in my mind.
Well, let's hear something made by the Paul Specht Orchestra while Hooley was in the band. He mentioned Static Strut by his friend pianist Phil Wall.
Station C-O-L.
And his orchestra, Static Strut, recorded a few weeks before the band set sail for London in April 1926. And Sylvester Hola liked London so much, he vowed he'd return one day. In the autumn of 1927, after the sadly short-lived New Yorker club venture in Adrian Olini's band, he was invited to join the new Savoy Orpheans in London and did so. Just before Christmas that year, Hooley and his bride of nearly a year arrived back in London. But the band broke up the following September, and our hero joined Ambrose's great band at the Mayfair Hotel. What, I asked him, were his favorite Ambrose records?
Well, they didn't let us play much jazz in those days, that they didn't think it would sell, so I only had 8 bar solos or 16, especially with Ambrose. I guess the best one that, with my own style, I used to imitate other trumpet players, as you know, and put in a nanny goat, my brother, to make it sound like a second trumpet player or another style of jazz. I played first all the time, all the lead parts, and then would switch and change the vibrato or the tone of the style. I think Do Something on Decca is a dance hall solo or a dancing, a hotel dance band style with a punchy rhythmic style. That Do Something, not a fancy solo, but I kind of like that myself.
Ambrose's orchestra was home base for Sylvester Hoher in London, but he recorded with many others. I asked him about some of his favorites, with Bert Furman, for instance.
Well, the one that comes to mind, I don't believe I ever told you this, but I Ain't Got Nobody. They let me, that was one of the first recordings we made. They did give me a chance to play there. Now, I used to just to make the fellas laugh with my antics on the trumpet. So if you notice on that solo, I start off with the Vicks idea in mind. I was thinking as though Vicks might think this way, let's say. But in the middle, I revert to Herbert Clark's Band in the Park Carnival of Venice. Those variations are strictly band style. Yes, I wanted to make the fellas laugh. They were all grinning and all that, and it did make them laugh, but I never did think that that solo would be recognized as for any jazz content, so now I'm wondering whether I should have clowned on that or not.
Got Nobody by the Rhythmic Eight, directed by Bert Furman. Were there any others among the hundreds Hooley made under Bert or John Furman's direction that he felt were outstanding?
Well, there's one other Bert Furman record. I think I played the best jazz on it, and that's the Duophone, All By Yourself in the Moonlight. I think I was the loosest on any solo I ever played.
Yourself in the Moonlight by Bert Furman and his orchestra. And I agree with Hooley's assessment of his playing on that, but what about his, shall we say, less commercial work with nominal leaders such as Spike Hughes?
I also would have had a chance to loosen up a bit with the Spike Jones recording John Decker, but that's when they stopped me recording, when I received the notice from the Home Office. There had been complaints from I was taking the work away from the British musicians, which was true, and I was an alien after all. I didn't mind, but the funny part of it was they didn't stop Danny Polo or any of the other Americans from recording. They kept going, and I had to stop, of course. I was instructed I'd be thrown out of the country within 2 weeks if I kept doing that. So I was just getting going with Spike Jones. I think that he would have let me play something, and there are some of those Spike a miss is as good as a mile. I think that had possibilities.
Thank you. as good as a mile. It's not worthwhile, why did we start? For a kiss doesn't mean all it used to, for you refused to before we part. You grew cold, but I kept on persuaded. I saw you fading, but you wouldn't stay. Oh, a miss is as good as a mile, so I must smile and go my way.
I'd say they had definite possibilities. Miss is as good as a mile by Spike Hughes and his Decadents, and it does seem a crying shame that Sylvester Hollow, who had so much to offer his admirers in this country, was denied further recording dates except with Ambrose, his regular employer. It's typical of him that he took the bad news philosophically and talks of it now with a chuckle. What was his best recording of all, though?
But the best thing that I ever did on records, so I think, it was not jazz. The best thing I feel that I ever did was the cornet, labeled as a cornet solo on Zonophone, Somewhere a Voice is Calling, and Until, which is on the other side. That may surprise you and many other people, but to sing out a simple ballad with any conception of what the message is supposed to convey is the thing on a trumpet. I played that on a trumpet. That is the recording I made at Kingsway Hall. And it was very cold there that morning. I wasn't used to unheated theaters and such as the English musicians didn't seem to mind. I was cold. I wore an overcoat. And I had kid gloves on. Well, it was so cold there that I was complaining. I said, geez. So they brought a little heater and they plugged it into the footlights. The other footlights weren't on. They turned them all off, but they plugged in this heater, which didn't mean anything. Just for me. So on the master, I had a hat on too, a felt hat. The other fellows were sitting in there without overcoats, of course. Me up front there with just a powder puff with an overcoat and a hat and gloves on. So for the master, I took off the right-hand glove. That's all. That's the story on Somewhere a Voice is Calling, and I do consider it the best thing I ever did. Thank you.
her voice is calling. Cornet solo by Sylvester Hola. Actually a trumpet, but someone in the publicity department thought that a cornet would be recognized throughout the British Empire where the record would be sold, whereas a trumpet would not. Can you beat it?